You're listening to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation.
Hello there.
All right, everyone, welcome back to our Bad Batch recaps here on For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation. Andrew and Don are back here and fresh off his appearance on The Mandalorian Season 3 this week. Connor Chiquiti, a.k.a. Dr. Pershing, is here. How's the mind doing?
It's hard. I don't really remember much.
Yeah, that's... I was like, he's acting his ass off this week.
Goddamn Alia Kane and her mind flayer. That's all I got to say.
I know. Well, this is technically going to be coming out after our Mandalorian recap. So let's just go through the, oh, Connor, you did great. Damn that Imperial Remnant. Also, shout out Katie O'Brien. Like, I was not expecting her to like be that freaking good in that episode. Like, I saw her in Quantumania, and I was like, this is a little much, but, like, that was the whole theme of the show, and I completely forgot she, I mean, the movie, and I completely forgot she was in Mando, but she was freaking great in that episode, as I'm sure that we talked about yesterday when the our Mando recap dropped, because we definitely aren't recording this first or anything, because... Once I finally get work stability in my schedule, they start switching me up again. So we've had to jump through hoops. But we're here to talk about the Bad Batch. We're here to talk about episode 13 of season 2 titled Pabu. And this was a cooldown episode, which I think was... I wasn't expecting it because of how, like, game-changing the last two episodes were. So for this one to just kind of be like, all right, look at the pretty visuals because the animation is gorgeous. But I did like it because it showed a glimpse of a life the Batch could have after this is all said and done, if they were to actually settle down. It reminded me a lot of the Sanctuary episode of The Mandalorian, of like, this could be what they choose to do if they want to step away from the fight. And they even, at the end of the episode, choose to stick around for a while. Now, I don't think that's going to last very long. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to last probably... into the first couple minutes of next week's episode. But overall, I thought this was quite a fun episode.
Same. Especially like the first action sequence in the beginning was just...
Yeah.
So darn good. So darn good.
And we had Steve Blum as well, like making an appearance, like voicing one of the those pirates, I believe.
That was Steve Blum, really cool.
Yeah, he was in the credits, so it's really cool that he's like, because we've had Freddie Prinze Jr. pop up, Vanessa Marshall, so now we have Steve Blum, but except he isn't voicing Zeb, which is like, you know what? I actually really would love to see Zeb show up and meet the Bad Batch at some point. I feel like Zeb would, I just want to see Zeb and Wrecker arm wrestle. Like, that's a weirdly specific thing I kind of want to see in Bad Batch.
Wrecker, also, episode was just beautiful.
Yeah,
I loved him.
Dude was never vibing.
He was just loving life.
Oh, lovely!
It was great.
Oh, lovely! Like man-child boy. He was, and I'm saying man-child in the purest sense because he's such an innocent little flower, Wrecker. He just wants to like chill and like just like gorge to his heart's content. Like that was such a lovely moment when they were eating. And he's like, I'm full. I'm never full.
Yeah.
Oh, he sees the plate of dessert. I love this place.
Like, and I love Tech's little joke there. Like, I shall allow me to catalog this very rare moment.
Yeah, like, let me allow the date and time. Tech was great in this episode, but yeah. my guy Tech, he's doing good for himself. What a man that Tech. But we started the episode off, and we see Fee with the Batch, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, because I thought we were on Ord Mantell again. I was like, I thought we were done with this. I tweeted and deleted because I was like, I watched more of the episode, but I tweeted the gif of the Donald Duck smashing the room up, but it's the Kylo Ren helmet. Because I was like, God damn it. I'm like, of course.
I don't know what it was. I think it might have just been how it was framed, like the outside before we came into the interior or something. But like, I kind of knew right off the bat, like, okay, we're not in Ord Mantell anymore. Like, that was just me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was worried that they'd gone back on. Yeah.
No. I thought they were done with this. I thought like the whole point of Metamorphosis was to be like, we're done with Cid. We're done with these missions. So then we start off and Omega's just like with Cid on this mission. I'm like, you motherfuckers. I was like, did they air these backwards or something? Like, I was confused.
Like, I almost wondered if this was like an episode that took place before Metamorphosis, but it's really, they really pulled the rug out from under us, like with that, when they finish the mission and get the artifact and we see them get that message from Cid, which was very, very almost intimidating. Like the way the audio kept cutting out, it really framed Cid in a more sinister light when she was like,
"I just know Andrew was the happiest motherfucker on the face of the earth."
Oh, who was? We will get to that.
If anything, honestly, after watching this episode, because the previous episode with Fee, as much as I kind of like Fee as a character, and I think Wanda Sykes has kind of like really got the a unique voice for the character. The episode featuring her wasn't my favorite. In fact, I would have called it the least, purely because it didn't feel like there was much progression for the characters. But having watched this now, I feel like this makes that episode so much stronger, because now that we have spent time with Fee, it kind of we actually see that she,
and we know why she hunts.
Exactly. It makes her whole journey in that
liberates ancient winters.
Yeah, like she actually has a more like a moral side to her. She's not like Cid.
Payoff.
Because Cid's very concerned with profit and like selfishness and greed very clearly, whereas Fee does have a softer side, like a softer side, and actually has like a more maternalistic instinct when it comes to Omega.
There was a great line later when Tech was like, "I don't believe this treasure has any monetary value." And she's just like, you know, treasures don't have to come with a price or whatever the line was.
Yeah.
She really won me over in this episode.
Yeah, because you know if that was Cid. Agreed. I absolutely agree. Because you know if it was Cid, she would be saying the exact same as Tech. She'd be like, "Oh, you know, this doesn't have a lot of value." But I feel like, basically, Fee is just like really, I'm just really impressed with how they've handled her character.
Yeah, it really turned the table here. We get like a quick little scuffle at the beginning with these, what can we even call them? Like Steve Blum voiced one of them, but like
scoundrels.
The scoundrels that she's dealing with, they escape on the Marauder. And Fee's like, you know, she makes a great point. It's like, has Omega ever had much interaction with kids her age? And they're like, no. And then Tech was like, I mean, we never had that, and we turned out all right. And Fee's just like, yeah, definitely. So she sends him on.
Thing I love the most is like that the little subtle like thing that Fee seems to have for Tech.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's less than subtle as the episode keeps going. Oh, yeah. On.
I mean, she straight up hit on him in the premiere, and it's probably feels subtle because he's so oblivious. Like I feel like he's starting to catch on at this point though, that she likes him, and he doesn't actually seem opposed to the idea, which is kind of cool, really.
Wrecker's a shipper. We'll get to that later, but Wrecker is a big shipper of the two.
Yeah. You'd almost expect them to pair Fee up with Hunter, because Hunter is the obvious choice. He's the more dashing one. You know, he's got the Rambo look with the bandana, and he's the leader. The dark and broody one. So to have Fee be interested in Tech instead is actually more interesting. It's kind of subversive, and it's actually a good pairing, because she's so like confident and swaggering, and Tech is very kind of like reserved, like, you know, for good reason. But yeah, I like that. I'm hoping to see that develop a bit more by the end of the season.
Tech girlies on Twitter, I got to ask you a question. How do you feel about this? Do you like the ship, or are you upset that your man is potentially with someone else. Like, we need your feedback there. But they get a transmission from everyone's favorite Sid. And they start off and they're like, it's been, I think they, what did they say? 20 rotations.
Yeah, 20 rotations.
Since the last time we spoke to her. And it's like, oh, I didn't know you cut ties with Sid. And Sid is just very threatening. Like, we had a mutual deal here. I mean, I know stuff about you that you don't. Cuts out, yada, yada, yada. Don't cross me. It's like, so at first I was like, oh no, they're going back to Sid. But then when Fee's just like, I'm going to get you away from there. And they're like, yeah, we are done with Sid. I think the moment Fee said the sentence, I didn't know you cut ties with Sid. Thank fucking God, I was. Ladies and gentlemen, my reaction summed up in one clip.
I'm gonna miss you. Bo ho, bo ho, bo ho, bo ho.
That's it. I'm so upset, guys, that Sid is gone.
My younger brother absolutely detests Sid, so he shares your enthusiasm, Andrew. Yeah, for sure. I do think, though, I like, not to stick up for Sid, but I am gonna say that I think there could potentially be a parallel between Sid and Crosshair. Because the thing is, like, while the Batch are very justified in just cutting ties with her, you know, they do kind of abandon her in a similar way that they do with Crosshair. Like, they just straight up leave at the first sign that she is going to potentially turn on them. And that kind of led to Crosshair being even more supportive of the Empire. So I almost wonder if, like, by doing this, while it is strategically probably the right move, it might backfire because... while Sid is very, very selfish, very oriented around greed and like profit and stuff like that, I do wonder if she'll see that abandonment as a betrayal and therefore it will be easier for her to justify selling the Bad Batch out to the Empire, which I feel is an inevitability.
I'm pretty sure that's the inevitability.
I think next episode she's going to sell them out and Omega's going to get taken from Pabu. But
Everything's leading to Mount Tantiss.
I don't feel bad for it at all.
Alex from Star Wars Explained has said a number of times, and I agree.
Everything is leading to... That's why I was kind of surprised we didn't get a little sting at the end of what's going on at Mount Tantiss. But I think it was nice to keep it self-contained in...
We need to know what happened to Crosshair.
What is wrong with my boys? I got so... that, like, the mood whiplash of last week with Crosshair shooting... what the fuck was his name? I already forgot.
Lieutenant Nolan.
Lieutenant Nolan. Piece I think the of shit.
The only one that I hate more than Sid. And then we were like, what's happening to him? And now it's like, oh, fun episode, like on this like tropical planet, which I'm totally okay with. But
I remember early on, I think in our recaps for this show, I think it was either you, Don, that mentioned it, or maybe I can't remember who. But, like, how we thought, like, Sid's going to betray them at some point, and Omega was going to feel, like, absolutely dejected. Because, like, to you, I think it was your point, Don, that, like, to Omega, Sid was, like, one of the few maternal figures that she's ever had. And, like, guess that ain't coming true, thankfully.
I mean, I feel like she'll still feel a sense of betrayal when Sid like gives up some information that leads to her.
Okay, yeah.
Like,
no,
I feel like that's coming probably. Still because Omega has very much been someone who's put her faith in people. You know, she's a very trusting soul, and it's what makes her such a likable person. But I do feel like Star Wars being what it is and how it tends to like punish characters sometimes, I feel like she is being set up to have her faith and her trust in people dramatically shaken. For sure. The only other thing I'd say is, like, I think I did mention on when I guested on Who's the Boss, when we were talking about the episode with Marco and Benny, about how actually kind of I had a theory that Hunter secretly wants to settle down and have like a quiet life. And I feel like this episode sort of followed that through, because like he doesn't really outwardly say it, but the whole time from the point where they arrive on this, you can tell that he is think he is, he likes this place, and he is thinking about like what it would be like to live here, you know. And the only thing that I think keeps him like from saying that is like is whether or not these people can be trusted, because so many times they've like they've tried to put their faith in people, they've tried to trust people, and it's just not really worked out. Like Sid has constantly kind of kept them strung along with like, you do this work for me and I won't turn you into the Empire. But like these people are the complete opposite. Like they actually are a community. If anything, I might liken it to since Last of Us just concluded like earlier this week, it is very kind of similar to the village Jackson settlement, which is very kind of like, you know, not to spoil, but it's very it's all built off of a community and people working together. Almost a kind of a communist, like perfect communist society. It's a similar thing here where there's a mayor, but and everyone sort of chips in, and it's a really nice thing to see.
Yeah. First of all, hats off to the animation department in this episode as I move on from my Sid euphoria for a moment. I can't wait until you know, it'd be great. You know it would be great. That's too dark.
No, go on. I was gonna say, I want to hear.
She informs the Empire, and then they pull like a Ventress with Captain Argaius right afterwards, where he snitches, and then Ventress immediately just takes him out. But I feel like that's too dark. That's too dark.
we did just watch an episode where like a clone like froze to death and was like left to die for the vultures. So like I honestly feel like they could go there.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't like Sid, guys. I'm so sick of her derailing this fucking show, and it's finally over with. I was like, the fear. I went literally I got upset when I thought we were on Ord Mantell at the beginning of the episode, because I'm like, motherfucker, we're back to this shit. And
if you could just frame it like one quote, if we could have like a blurb for this season of the Bad Batch, I don't like Sid, Andrew, like for Sid. The Republic podcast, 2023.
I think we might have to add that to the merch store. But Sid, my dude, just leave the show. Like, it's fine.
Just a drawing of Sid with like just a really like stupid face. Like,
I was so happy the last 2 weeks.
I was also speaking of like people in this episode, the mayor, Shep.
Oh,
I don't know about you guys. I sincerely thought some like dark shit was gonna happen.
No.
Like where he's like he's good on the outside, but like he's like don't know. He's hovering.
It's gonna be like David from The Last of Us again, like, you know, just to bring it back.
David was just always a piece of shit.
Oh, I hated him.
Like, yeah, I played the game. That dude was up. No.
Yeah, no, I was
expecting, because I was like, okay, there's no way they're going to stay on the planet at the end of the episode. Mm. But they pull a tribe and they stay on Kashyyyk at the end. So yeah. I was like, okay, how are they going to, like, what are him and his little girl, like, what are they up to? What are they going
to do? Yeah, what are they up to? I was like, this seems fit. Like, there was a part of me that's like, this seems fishy.
Or is someone going to come in and get no? But they're just like good people, and it was surprising. I thought it was so wholesome. Omega and his daughter's name was it Leanna or Leanna?
Yeah, Leanna. Like,
so, yeah,
that was amazing.
I just loved how
dude, give me a spinoff of them just doing whatever,
just sailing on the water. It was great. Also, my new hyper obsession is those green monkey creatures.
Finally,
a monkey species in Star Wars that I don't absolutely detest.
If they were quacky and monkey lizards, I would have turned the episode off. But like, I was like, oh my god, I need one. I think as soon as they showed up, I was like, oh, what is that? Like, I screamed it, and then I was like, I need one. So, like, if they're doing what they did the other year at Celebration, where they're selling Lothwolf plushies at the Celebration store, and I was stupid and didn't get one because I wasn't watching Rebels at the time. If they're selling one of those this year at the Celebration store, hook me up. I'll send you the Venmo.
The biggest thing I really liked in this episode, was the fact that the Empire was not the threat.
Yes.
Like, it was a natural disaster.
Yeah, as Alden
like, that's so cool.
It was a man versus nature plot.
Yep.
Which I thought was a very cool twist.
Incredibly refreshing. We never see that in Star Wars. You know, and I completely agree with you, Connor. Like,
and it really shows these are some of the things that people and planets have to deal with after the war and in this transition period.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not all just Empire, man.
Like, yes, it got very
Empire and Scoundrels, really.
It got very tense near the end of the episode, but the way the majority of the episode just has this kind of like calming, relaxing feel to it. And then just having this, as I tweeted, the sense of community and this new home away from home that Pabu has for Fee and the Batch and everyone that lives there reminded me a lot of like a really good episode of Resistance, of just like the way that the Colossus always felt like a big home for all of these different people. And just the way it was animated, the bright colors, just everything. It got me there. And I was thinking about it the whole time of like, man, this really feels like they're dipping in to the Resistance storytelling beats here. Also, shout out Matt Mikhnovitz, who was the story editor for this episode. So
yeah,
the man doesn't miss.
I mean, he was the story editor for all of season one and season two. So
yeah,
like I said, the man doesn't miss unless it's faster, but the man doesn't miss besides that.
Take that back.
That was a damn good episode. Go fuck
yourself. Fastest absolutely slaps, and I will maintain that.
Look, but we again, I loved the mayor. I loved the dynamic between Omega and Leanna. I thought was so cute. And then that feast scene was great. Oh, hold on. Before we get to the feast, I got to shout out my boy Wrecker when the mayor shows up and he just immediately greets Fee, and Wrecker goes to Tech like, looks like you got some competition there, bud. Like, big shipper. Big shipper on deck is Wrecker for Tech and Fee. There's also a great moment near the at some point in the episode where Fee and Tech are sharing a moment and Hunter just comes right in between the middle of them. I'm like, boy's doing some serious cock blocking right now and doesn't even know it.
And by your own clone, that's never happened to anyone.
I gotta give it to him. He's rolling in it. He's what a guy, that Tech. But again, I love seeing the Batch in this different dynamic than we're used to seeing them in. They just finally get to relax. We get to see what they're like at peace. And we get to see a glimpse of what it would be like if they were to settle down, if Hunter were to relocate them here afterwards, if Omega could have friends that aren't her fellow clones. It was really nice. And it's just the fact that they went all out with the animation was just, it looks so good. And I also loved the fact that the character models, it's a little small thing, but the character models they used for a lot of the citizens of this planet looked different than we're used to seeing. I feel like they designed them differently to feel more like this is a remote place to settle down. And it's going to be different than what you expect with Star Wars, this whole tropical feel. And I really enjoyed it.
Agreed. Yeah. It was cool. It's a really, like you said, the animation was like just gorgeous. Like the way they just like, just the design of it, as well as this kind of like peninsula, like this, it kind of, there was a few things in the episode that gave me Lord of the Rings vibes as well, like with the design of it. Cause the design of how like it's really tall gave me a little bit of a Minas Tirith from Return of the King influence, and also like later on when they have to escape the wave and they have to put those ladders down, that gave me Helm's Deep vibes from Two Towers. So that was very cool.
Yeah, I loved the way the episode turned too. But that, again, that feast scene was great. First of all, like just the vibrant colors of the food and everything looked great. And then Wrecker's, I'm never full. Just great, great scene. And then you just see how Hunter has changed and just how relaxed and unafraid, or like, I guess, less tense that he is. Because when Omega asked to go on the boat with Leanna, normally Hunter would be like, no, we can't have you leaving. But like, he's just like, have fun, kid. Like, he's just, someone tweeted, it's like he's turning into like the wine mom when he's on Pabu. He's just like, oh yeah, have fun, kid. You're doing great, as he's sipping whatever drink he's had. And it just, again, it just felt so different and so at home, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was cool.
But yeah, just after, like,
seeing them very,
I muted
like,
my
casual.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, I agree with what you just said, Andrew, about Hunter turning into a wine mum. Like, after five drinks, he's just like, 99. Nice touch.
Nice touch.
No!
We gotta bring it back. Gotta bring it back. It's great. Oh. Hunter, five drinks in, realizes why they're named Clone Force 99. Wait a minute.
Hey Wrecker, do you know why we're named 99? No, Hunter, I don't.
Perfect. I saw someone tweet, though, it's like, man, they're so at home, they're so at peace, if only Crosshair were here. I'm like, you, soon, we're going to get you out of there, buddy. We're
gonna, yeah, I feel like Crosshair would be, like, unsettled. He just wouldn't know what to do.
He'd be like Batman. This? He'd be like Lego Batman in the Lego movie when they go to Cloud Cuckoo Land, and Lego Batman is just like, I hate this place. That would be Crosshair. You'd be like, there's no missions and no sniper duty. I don't know what to do.
Do I shoot the mayor, Hunter?
It's like, no, Crosshair, no, don't do that. It's like,
are we eating all this fruit? Is that, at least let me go and hunt something. I don't know what to do unless I'm shooting something.
Well, we're getting you out of there. If the Batch aren't going to storm Mount Tantus, fuck it, I'm going to do it. We're coming for you, bud. It's okay. The one thing that I had to, like, tell myself it's fine so I could enjoy the episode is the last time we see them, they're just like, all right, yeah, we got to send this information to Echo and Rex. We're going to join the fight. Actually, let's settle down on this island for a little bit. Like, I loved how the episode worked for their narrative and just how, like, at peace they feel. But that was the only thing where I was like, okay, well, I guess they're not that urgent in wanting to help out in the fight. But I did like how they put themselves first, which I really enjoyed. And it was so peaceful. And I feel like we've said that a whole bunch of times, but it's like, if we could see what, like, a slice of life Star Wars show would be, it's that. And I mentioned that term because I have not seen the many tweets about this, but I just know that there's going to be people that saw this episode and was like, nothing happened. Filler.
It was filler.
And I want Twitter to, like, the average Twitter user to watch a slice of life series and just see how that goes. Every episode, they're just hanging out. What is this filler crap? Like,
it's
when's stuff gonna happen? Like, I want to see them watch any show that isn't like one of these tentpole ones.
Yeah, agreed.
Watch a sitcom. Why are they just hanging out at a bar? What is this filler crap?
Yeah, like people just watch Schitt's Creek and they're like, oh, why are they just hanging in the motel? Why aren't they going and, I don't know, fixing up buildings or something? You know, they know how to fix things, right?
When is the when's the Empire showing up? Where's the action?
Like, I did like the structure of this episode, though. Like,
yeah, me too.
The fact that it has really effective action scenes to, like, bookend it. We got the shootout at the start. And then, as we've said before, there's that big natural disaster of, like, the wave, which is, it's really cool that that's the threat instead of the Empire, because, as we've said, like, you know, natural disaster, you never see that in Star Wars. But also, it kind of shows that, like, even like in this area, there is still danger. Like, these people are living a precarious life. It represents, if anything, how precarious their existence is, because the Empire hasn't noticed them now, doesn't value their place now, but it will eventually. And the natural disaster kind of of the wave kind of shows that, like, it's inevitable that eventually the Empire, like danger is going to invade this space. And it also kind of, but it also does explain why the Empire might not have been so quick to value the place at the same time. Like, oh, we don't see much point in taking this place because there's like, there's huge waves that could wipe out a chunk of it in like, in minutes.
I also loved, you mentioned that, I loved that line earlier when Hunter was like, what if the Empire finds you? It's like, why would they come here? And if they do, we'll manage. And I loved how they still have that sense of community there. It's like, we'll help each other out, which is a little tidbit that leads into later in the episode. But shout out again to the animation of the scenes of Omega and Liana on the boat. Like, it just looked beautiful. And then the tremors start happening. And at first I was like, what the hell is this? Like, is there... I didn't realize it was going earthquake. I thought it was going to be like... the island is secretly on some type of like giant turtle thing. And then they had like... because I was like, okay, what weird Star Wars thing is this going? And I'm like, we've had mechs. We've had the Zillow Beast this season. Like, something crazy is going to happen.
Like, it'd be some Discworld shit, like with a giant, yeah, with a giant turtle.
But yeah, it's just like tsunamis. And they were like, oh, I don't think it's so. It was just a light tremor. It's like, I don't think that was a light tremor. And then it starts again. And then literally this giant tidal wave starts coming up and they all have to evacuate. And again, you mentioned very Lord of the Rings, the way that they kind of helped out everyone. And I loved how they were doing everything they could, even though they just got here to save every single person on that island and make sure they get to higher ground. And I just know everyone when they said that line was like holding in the joke. Really, don't make the eye of the high ground joke. Just don't get past your programming. Bypass the inhibitor chip. But I loved, and then Hunter going off on the Marauder to save Omega. I was worried, guys.
I was absolutely when they
jumped off the boat. And like Liana was like not moving for a second. Dude, did they just?
I thought they
killed her.
I was like, she better not be dead, bro.
I know, like, because she's such a sweetie. Like, she's just like really nice to Omega. Like, right off the bat, she's like, and it's not like weird at all. She's just a really like friendly kid, and it's so heartwarming. It's really good writing that they're able to like get us to care for these people so quickly. So like when Liana like doesn't immediately get up, we're worried. And when later on when Shep is like,
that might have been a worse death. That if she died, that might have been a worse death than the Ewok in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, that's brutal. That is such a brutal death, that poor Ewok. He even has like a death scream as well. That's horrible.
That shit traumatized me as a kid.
That was hard to watch as a kid.
But yeah, luckily Liana's alive.
Yeah, so I was thinking like, is this gonna be how they like get kicked off the island? Is Hunter can't save the mayor's daughter, so he's like, no, you have to go. But no, thankfully they save everyone, and it's nice. But the whole bottom of the lower district of Habu is completely destroyed by this tidal wave. And again, I thought the episode was going to end with, oh man, that sucks that the whole thing is destroyed. You guys will be good. Oh well, all right, we got to go though. We got to get back on our ship. We can't. But the fact that they stayed there was really nice. And I was like, I think we'd be able to stay here for a while and help you out. So that's going to be really nice. And also shout out to that scene of, I think it was Wrecker, Liana, and Omega sleeping underneath the tree. That was really cute at the end. Like, they're so tired after after everything that happened. And I then just need Tech like an and artwork Fee
of it. Yeah,
my boys,
just sort of like hanging out there. Yeah,
he's doing good. He's doing good. But no, again, this was such a nice episode, and I don't have much to say about it other than the fact that it was so relaxing. It didn't feel like we were wasting any time or anything. It just felt like, as I've said a couple times, it felt like if we had a glimpse of what their life could be without the war, it would be this episode. And I'm starting to think that that's going to be the end game of this show, is once they're done with the fight, we're going to see whoever's left settle down and finally find a life without the war. Yeah, which I think is going to be really nice.
Because we are heading, obviously, towards an explanation for why Rex, because if Rex, of all people, is going to like wind up retiring from the fight and settling down, if only briefly, with Wolf and Gregor on that that repurposed ATTE, I feel like that's kind of a natural place, like you said, for the show to be headed, really. Like, I do think that we'll probably lose at least a couple of members of the batch before that happens. I mean, I have this fear that, like...
No.
Because of the fact that like there's that stinger of Crosshair potentially being turned into one of those assassin clones, there is like the risk of them going to Mount Tantis and one of them not coming back. And I like, because I feel like, given that, like, I don't know, I'm mainly also going off the tweets that that was done by one of the writers. I can't remember her name. Her name has completely escaped me. It's Jennifer, isn't it?
Jennifer Corbett.
Corbett. I apologize for like forgetting your name, Jennifer. You've done a brilliant job with this season so far. But like, she tweeted, you know, this episode, like about last week's episode, oh, we're going to do something that, you know, a lot of people have wanted for a while, but be careful what you wish for. And I wonder if that's not just like with Crosshair being taken into Mount Tantis. I won't worry that he's like, if the batch wind up rescuing him from Mount Tantis, there will be a cost for it. Like, it'll be a transaction thing. Like, oh, we get Crosshair back, but we lose someone else. Because I feel like they're aiming for like, I don't think they're gonna have them all together again.
I hope like, that. Personally. But I don't think they can redeem Crosshair and then turn him again, if that's what they do, and then immediately kill him. Like, they need to.
I'm more worried about Hunter getting killed, to be honest.
I'm like, you can take Hunter. I love the dude, but in terms of who's had the development, like, he can go. Just don't kill Echo, don't kill Wrecker, don't kill Crosshair.
Wrecker, I'm also worried about, for the record. I think Wrecker's definitely at risk. I don't think Tech personally or Echo. I feel like they're both safe for now.
Tech's gotten all the development this season. Tech is safe. They were like, we didn't give him much last season, so we're gonna give him everything in season two, which I am totally okay by.
Speaking of Echo, you guys think that, like, thank you. Do you guys think that next week we could potentially like have a Rex and Echo centric episode like we've been speculating about for the last couple episodes?
Because
this is episode 13 and there's only three left now. So given the way the narrative seems to be going, it kind of makes sense to have the next episode be another cutaway to another character. And since we've already had the Crosshair cutaway, it would make sense to have one Rex and Echo episode, centric episode, and then we have like the finale where presumably Omega gets kidnapped, taken to Mount Tantis, and they have to go there and we find out actually what the Empire is planning. Because I've seen some people push back against the ongoing plots there, because some people are like, oh well, you know, that and the Mandalorian, they're all hinting at like cloning stuff with Palpatine. Do they really have to like prop that up, given how like not everyone likes that? And it's like, I feel like they are doing it in part to fill in the blanks with that, but also there's other stuff going on, since this is also connected to Thrawn and like what they're planning with, like, presumably a sort of retelling of the Thrawn trilogy, which I presume is what they're headed for.
Look, with Mando, I mean, if they're eventually going to lead to the setup of the First Order, which is what they said in the initial synopsis of the show, the cloning part is a big aspect of that, so it's needed. As for the Echo and Rex thing, I think that, I don't know if a whole episode, but I think part of the episode might be a good thing. I also think regardless, next week we're going to see them back with the batch, because I think Omega's getting taken next week.
And probably by Delta Squad.
You pitched that, and I'm all for it, but I think the fact that there's three left, and then the week, episode 15 and 16 are a two-parter, so I feel as though that's going to be like how last year the season finale was all Kamino. I feel like it's going to be all Tantus. So I don't know if they can do that. I have a better idea, though. Instead of a Rex and Echo episode, a Cid-centric episode. There we go.
Well, that's a twist.
Voodoo.
Like,
oh, Pudu indeed.
Oh, we heard someone say Pudu. There's a Pudu name, like, obviously, this was in Mando, but there was a Pudu name, there was a Pudu mention in Mando. So, yeah, they brought
this
it back.
Week?
Yeah, like, during the amnesty meet, like the meetup of the amnesty people, there's literally someone says, oh, it's Pudu.
I gotta go back and rewatch the episode now. I must have been too distracted by the Carnival March of the Resistance that was playing. That episode was fucking fantastic, which I'm sure we've talked about at length already. Totally.
Oh, there's at least a 15-minute block that's just us raving about the presentation of Coruscant in that episode.
Well, yeah, guys, you know, it's the first time we've seen Coruscant in since
Revenge. We haven't seen it in years.
We haven't seen Coruscant in years, guys. It's crazy. It's not like we just had it in a huge role in the last show, but no, like, guys, it's been so long since we've seen Coruscant, so we got to do that. But Bad Batch, yeah, it was so happy, so wholesome, and next week they're gonna rip our hearts out. And Sid, if you show up again, get out, just leave. You don't sit with us anymore. We're taking away your privileges.
Hey, come on.
Again, the Wookiee pelt after the Gungi episode should have been the last straw.
It's not a Wookiee pelt. It's I don't know what that is, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a Wampa or something. I don't fucking know. But yeah, that it was. I loved this episode.
Very well,
it was
be.
Very nice. It could
we've
be.
Seen, like, not, we've seen other colored Wampas in Jedi Survivor, so that it's very possible.
Yeah, we've just seen one. Yeah, it was just a brown Wampa in Survivor.
It was just nice to get a nice change of pace episode in terms of the mood and the story and everything. And I was all here for it, and I am very excited and terrified of what's coming next. So I think we're going to wrap things up because I have places, aka work, that need to be very soon. So thank you guys for joining us on this episode of our Bad Batch Recaps. Where can everyone find you guys?
You can find me on Twitter at Donovan Mead, where I tweet Star Wars, Marvel, Doctor Who, and politics occasionally. You can also find me on TikTok and Hive under the same handle, at Donovan McComish. Instagram, you can find me at Donovan_McComish. Haven't really been posted on there recently, but that's changing. And like Connor and Andrew, you can find me on SWEditorIG.com, where we all at some point have written articles like centered on Star Wars. My most recent article was speculating about a potential Kenobi season 2. And we also are part of SWEF, Star Wars Editor Fiction, which is a group of short stories that we and webcomics that try to stay within the what is considered canon in the Star Wars timeline, but we also like repurpose some elements from Legends to use in the stories. My one story that I've written came out in June last year. It's called Scars of War. It stars a clone veteran of called Blister, who encounters a Jedi survivor of Order 66 in Shartoon 5 years after Revenge of the Sith. If you like Star Wars and Pain, check it out.
We're getting those Jedi Survivor commercials on TV now. It's getting me very excited. It's coming soon. It's coming soon. Connor, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Dapa Banana, Instagram at ConManJFO, though I don't really use it that much. I co-host not only here, but over at the Nerd Academy podcast with my co-host Jared, specifically our Star Wars show, Knights of the Nerd Republic. We just talk Star Wars there, pretty much the same here. I also write questions along with Don over at Star Wars in the Galaxy Epic Confrontations. You can check out all of our past matches over at the Star Wars in a Galaxy podcast YouTube channel. We have a few we have a few more really, really exciting ones coming up in the pipeline. So be on the lookout for them. And then like Don, I write stories. I've written them, but they haven't like published them yet. I have a few in the works involving Cal Kestis, and one that's coming out. I don't know when it's coming out. I need to talk to Austin. I don't really know when. It's called The Knight's Welcome. It's probably going to be set shortly after Jedi Battle Scars, because there's some little things that like made me change the timeline. I'll just read the synopsis. Fateful encounter with a mysterious being leads Cal Kestis to discover secrets of the Force he once thought impossible. It's very short. It's like a 6-page script, because there's not really much else I did with that story. It's just a conversation, really.
Well, sometimes the best stories don't need much to them. So there you go. It's going to be very exciting, and I can't wait for you guys to read that one. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Starlight Andrew. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at For the Repub Pod and on Instagram and TikTok at For the Republic Pod. We just put up some updates about our schedule this week, so check those out. Subscribe to our YouTube page, For the Republic Podcast. Get us closer to our 100 sub goal so we can do more live content. And we just dropped our season one, quote unquote, finale of the main show, talking about the Ryloth arc. Don and I went all in on those episodes, so check that one out if you guys haven't. It just dropped on Wednesday when we're recording this, so a couple days ago. I hope you guys enjoyed that. We'll have our Mandalorian recap up Friday, which already dropped when this is coming out, and then this one as well. Also, just real quick, want to mention, because we did announce this during our Ryloth episode, but as we mentioned in the Ryloth episode, our merch store is live now, tpublic.com/user/for-the-republic-podcast. You can get yourself one of these wonderful designs that we have here. We have our regular logo shirt. And then, you know, as you know, there's no Easter eggs in Andor. So you can check those out as
well. No Easter eggs. And no
politics. Bricks. No bricks. No, definitely no politics, as we saw this week in Mando. None. Absolutely none. And also no mind of Dr. Pershing. So check those out. We have more coming for you soon. It's a very exciting week for us here. So until next time, we'll see you guys later, and may the Force be with you. Always.